Well, a warning. Our conversation today is about sexual abuse, and we have to be specific because the word hazing is just too tame. According to a Bloomberg News investigation, there's been an increase in federal lawsuits brought by male victims of sexual hazing. And a 2009 study from the Journal of Youth and Adolescence found nearly 10% of high school boys reported being sexually hazed by other boys. We're going to speak with a Bloomberg editor in a moment, but first, a father whose son was assaulted. They lived in a small town, Norwood, Colorado. The father was a principal. The 13-year-old son was traveling on a bus with the wrestling team to Denver when three older boys, two of them were the sons of the wrestling coach, bound the 13-year-old with duct tape and sodomized him with a pencil. Now, ultimately, their supporters drove the boy and his family from town. The dad, again, the principal, joins us. We're not mentioning his name or the name of the perpetrators because they are juveniles. Sir, I'm just going to call you Dad. And it was your older son, also on that bus trip to Denver, who heard the older boys bragging about the attack on your younger son. He told you. Your reaction?
You're really in disbelief. I was so mad, and then you just can't believe it really happened. And you don't really know what to do right away. You know, the first thing I did was went and found my son and asked him about it. And, you know, he told me exactly what happened. And then I confronted the coach and then let the superintendent and vice president of the school board know, you know, letting them know what was happening. And as the principal, I needed to step aside because it had to deal with my son. But, you know, your initial one is just complete disbelief that it could really be happening.
Well, first and foremost, a horrible thing for your son. And I'm sure you're also trying to figure out if he was injured by this attack. But this wrestling coach whose two sons were involved was also the school board president. So what action did the officials from the school take after you told everyone?
You know, I'm not sure they really did a whole lot. You know, none of them have ever even talked to my son to make sure he was okay. They never contacted the police. But they contacted their attorney, and they, you know, they suspended the kids that did this to my son for one day in school suspension, and that was it. That's all they wanted to do. They didn't want to talk to me. They didn't want to talk to either one of my kids or anyone in my family.
Well, under Colorado law, we understand any school official whose reason to suspect a child has been abused is supposed to immediately report the matter to the police or to social services. Now, I understand that things started happening at school. People started harassing your son?
Yeah, they actually started harassing him. And he was basically just, from being a pretty popular kid, he was made into an outcast. And he couldn't really be around anyone. The teachers were pretty good and tried to protect him. But the kids, boy, they didn't. They were, you know, either making fun of him for what happened or giving him a hard time for actually saying something about it.
Well, and, you know, we were amazed in the Bloomberg News report about this, even today. People who around town who were asked about this said, you know, here's a quote from a waitress at the Hitch and Post Cowboy Bar who said, you know, when I was in school, there's bullying and everything, but none of this crap about telling the school. He was considered a snitch.
Exactly. You know, I think the thing came out is they wanted to keep it quiet, keep it under wraps. Nobody wants to give the town a bad name. You know, heaven forbid someone finds out something bad happened in this little town and they'd have to take responsibility for it. They didn't want to do that.
Well, you eventually contacted the Denver police on your own. They brought charges. And it's really stunning also to read their notes of visits with the parents and the families. What did the police say the parents were saying to them when they went to investigate this?
It's amazing because everyone you talk to outside of the community was amazed at the reaction. The parents didn't want to talk about this incident. What they wanted to talk about is getting rid of me as principal.
Somebody actually made up T-shirts supporting the attackers?
Yes, they made up T-shirts all supporting that and actually wore them to school.
So what did you do?
At that time, once the T-shirts were made up, that's when we tried to work through this with my son. And, you know, he was in school every day. He didn't miss a day. He was, you know, stronger than anyone going and facing that every day. But after the T-shirt incident, we just pulled him out because there wasn't anyone there to protect him. It didn't seem like anyone that could. You know, I do say the teachers tried. They did what they could. But it wasn't a safe place for him anymore. They weren't doing anything to try to help him. So we pulled him out of school. And then it was, you know, a matter of our family trying to figure out what we're going to do from there. I'm not going to put either of my kids back in that situation, you know, it's a losing situation for them. So it was trying to get on with our lives and do what was best for our kids.
Well, you eventually relocated, and the Denver District Attorney brought charges against all three of the students who attacked your son. Later that year, one of the accused students pled guilty to sexual contact without consent. The other two pled guilty to third-degree assault. They got different sentences, probation, community service, restitution of about $2,500 apiece. As we said, you left. You're a principal. Was this an eye-opener for you to and now to read the Bloomberg News investigation that shows this is not uncommon?
It really is an eye-opener. And I think as an administrator, you have to, you know, just like as a parent, you have to realize there's going to be backlash when you push it forward. But you have to do what's right. That's the only way that's going to kind of change the attitude towards this and change people and to open their eyes of what's happening out there.
Why do you think it is happening? I mean, as you said, your kid, a popular kid. Why do you think it's happening?
You know, I wish I knew the answer. If we knew the answer, we could fix it. You know, I think there's all kinds of ideas out there from, you know, what they see on TV to one-upping all the stories they hear that happened, you know, when their parents were young. And those stories circulate and you have to go more. You know, I don't know the answer. I've looked for it to try to find out why is it going on right now? Yeah, I wish I knew what the answer was.
Well, we know you have a new job and your family's relocated. How is your younger son?
You know, in the last month especially, really it feels like we've kind of got him back. You know, he'd fit right into this community, into this amazing place we're at now. He seems to be doing pretty good. It was a rough go for quite a while. And, you know, you almost in the back of your mind expect there's going to be some more rough times. But right now, he seems to be doing really good.
And if your son had been assaulted in this way by an adult, everybody would be flocking around him, you know, trying to help him sooner. Is there some thinking that has to change? You know, the fact that it's young men doesn't make it less of an assault.
No, it doesn't. And you're absolutely right. If he would have been a female, I think it would have been different as well, being assaulted. Or if it was an adult doing it to him, it would have been different. And nobody wanted to talk about it. We tried everywhere. You know, we called the Department of Education. We called, you know, everywhere we could. And nobody really wanted to discuss it or do anything. It was kind of like we were on an island trying to figure out, you know, what can we do? We've got to help our kid, but nobody wants to talk about it.
Well, and as we see, sadly, sometimes when it's a female, it's exactly the same. But we take your point. This is the father of a boy assaulted by three classmates last year, and they had to leave town after the incident as the town turned against them for trying to report it. Best to your family, sir, and thanks for talking to us about it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, of course, we're also thinking, where's the help for kids who are the perpetrators? But right now we're looking at how widespread sexual hazing is. So after a break, we're going to speak with Bloomberg News editor Jonathan Kaufman. And as we go, is this story resonating with you? Something happened in your town? Let us know at hereandnow.org. Back in a minute, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. And if you're just joining us, a warning. We are talking today about sexual hazing in high school boys. We just heard the story of a 13-year-old from Norwood, Colorado. He was attacked by three older boys, and then the town turned on him and his family when they reported it to police. They eventually had to move, and the boys were charged. They had related charges. Bloomberg News has done an investigation into sexual hazing. Jonathan Kaufman is managing editor for Education and Enterprise Stories. He joins us from their New York newsroom. And Jonathan, finish the Norwood story, because you talked to school officials there, the ones who did not contact police initially. What do they say now?
Well, it's remarkable. When you go there, we sent reporters there. We were there for almost a week. And basically, they don't really know what all the fuss is about. They've talked about now they have some anti-bullying people coming in and talking to kids about the importance of not bullying. But there doesn't seem to really be an awareness of how traumatic this was, not just for the family, but also how widespread these kinds of incidents are, and that they're not being dealt with the kind of seriousness that you would treat any other crime.
Well, just to give an example of that, you talk about other very disturbing cases. Boys raped with a broken flagpole, a jump rope handle. And then there's the case in Des Plaines, Illinois. It's outside Chicago. A coach witnessed varsity soccer players sodomizing another student. then the coach congratulates that young victim, you know, on his rite of passage. And he also tells other young kids that they will be sodomized by varsity players if they don't play better. Are you serious?
No, I mean, this is all true. I mean, this is all things that we found in looking at court records. And I think what's going on is there is this kind of subculture out there involving hazing, often involving sports teams, but in other contexts as well, that isn't really being talked about. We have a lot of awareness these days about sexual abuse involving adults, Penn State and other places. But there still seems to be the sense, I think, especially in schools and colleges, that when these incidents happen, they're either, oh, you know, part of boys being boys, or let's take care of it internally. And so you'll have authority figures, including coaches, who either turn a blind eye or in fact encourage it. And this doesn't happen just in small towns. I mean, there's the incident you talked about outside Chicago, the Bronx High School of Science in New York, one of the most elite schools in the country, just had a case of three members of the track team being arrested for assaulting and sodomizing teammates. It appears to be something that crosses class lines, small towns, big towns, elite schools, and not so elite schools.
Well, and by the way, we should point out that the coach in Des Plaines was arrested last month.
Yes, he was. And he's pled not guilty, and there's an investigation still going on. But again, I think that when things reach the court stage, I think our belief is that there's a lot going on that's unreported and that really isn't being investigated at all.
Well, what about laws? I mean, when you get a job as a teacher, as a coach, aren't you told what the state laws are?
Well, you know you are, except one of the difficulties here is that there is no federal anti-hazing law. That's been beaten back. And in fact, this is in part tied to what's going on at colleges, where there's a lot of concern about hazing and yet a lot of resistance to anti-hazing laws. There are some state laws, but I think even in schools, people are not aware of it. And even though people, as in Colorado, know at some level they're supposed to report it, when this happens, there still seems to be this overwhelming impulse to handle it internally, to say, well, they're just kids, let's treat this as a disciplinary issue, rather than calling in the cops as you would if someone were beaten up on the street or if someone were robbed.
I want to pick up on something you said. You spoke with Susan Stewart, a professor of education law at Valparaiso University in Indiana, and she's studied this increase in lawsuits being brought by male victims of male sexual hazing. She says this is right out of Lord of the Flies, but you mentioned as well that what's happening in these high schools is what's fueling what's happening in colleges. They're bringing it. We thought it went the other way around, that maybe the high schoolers were imitating college, but they're bringing it to college.
I think that's true. I think what you're seeing is in a way kind of a coarsening of the culture in general. But what you're finding out is that middle school kids and high school kids are much more aware of these things. This kind of hazing goes on. So by the time they show up in college or on a sports team or in a fraternity or in a dorm room, they may have already been exposed or heard of or performed some of these acts. So it kind of escalates things. So I think there's probably a bit going both ways. They hear about these things through social media. They read about these attacks. They decide to somehow one-up it. And that then fuels what's going on in colleges.
Well, it's
that's true, I think, for lots of things. It's true for drinking. It's true for sexual assaults as well. There is kind of a broadening all across the school lines.
Well, I was going to say, it's just, you know, we see it with women. So it seems it's also crossed over because, of course, we have the case of the woman who was assaulted or allegedly assaulted, and the photo went out on social media. And kids it was part of their social media. They didn't see it as a crime or an attack.
Exactly. And I think what's interesting to me, and I think what is in the end most upsetting about the story, is we can think a lot and talk a lot about what it means for kids and why they're doing it. But what's really shocking, as you point out, is what about the adults? Kids will do things, but it's really the role of adults to step in and say stop and to find out what's going on and to fix it. And I think what was so shocking in this story, as the father, I think, described so movingly, was that everyone from the school board to the local town officials and fellow parents turned their back on him. And I think that's the part that really has to give us some cause for reflection.
Well, it's just amazing. You say in at least four of the cases of sodomy hazing, and again, we know this is a tough subject, just last year, the coach or a supervising teacher was alleged to have known about it, either ordered it, witnessed it, or laughed about it.
Well, as I say, this is, I think, one of the questions we need to be asking our schools and the people who run them, saying, you know, are you prepared to have your staff intervene in these incidents and treat them seriously? to just sort of say, oh, well, that's just the way things have always been here, doesn't work. And it's certainly not fair to the kids, who are often humiliated. I think one of the things that was so striking to us about this story is that the boy in this case didn't tell his father. The father only found out because the boy's brother came to him and said, this is what happened. There's a tremendous amount of humiliation, as there is whenever anyone is attacked, a boy or a girl. And so it's really up to the schools, I think, to intervene and to protect these kids if they think something is happening.
Jonathan Kaufman of Bloomberg News. Again, they investigated sexual hazing among high school boys. We'll link you up at hereandnow.org, where we'd love to hear your thoughts on this as well. Jonathan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, quite something. All right, going to take a break. By the way, this note, don't forget, Monday, the George Zimmerman trial begins in Florida. We'll be all over that. Other latest news is next, here and now.